Many Christians who believe they're worshiping Jesus are actually worshiping an idol that bears absolutely no resemblance to the Jesus of Nazareth who walked the earth 2,000 years ago. We're going to talk about it on this week's episode of the Faith by Reason podcast. Welcome to the podcast. The website behind it all is faithbyreason.net. Please check it out. There are hundreds of hours of study material there, blogs, podcasts, and coming soon, video. And we are doing a postscript to the series that we wrapped up a bit ago about Jesus the Redeemer. As part of our study of the fifth dispensation, we looked at the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus and how it led to salvation. And in the last few podcasts, we've been doing that postscript by looking at myths about Jesus. We looked at secular myths about Jesus, who he was, whether or not he really existed, whether their Christian faith is even was just made up by the disciples, whether or not he really rose from the dead, which was in the last episode. And now I want to talk about myths that Christians and religious people have about Jesus, who he was, and his mission and method, and a message rather. And as I said in the opening, I would contend that most Christians, 99% of us who believe we're worshiping Jesus, are not worshiping the real Jesus. We are actually worshiping an idol that was created by our modern churches and churches in the past, as well as an idol created in our own minds, where we create a mythology about Jesus that makes us feel good about him and about ourselves and makes us comfortable, but that Jesus that we picture, that we worship, and that we have, that mental, physical image we have in our minds is really not Jesus. And if we are worshiping something that we call Jesus and actually bears no resemblance to Jesus, then we are in fact worshiping an idol. Even if you call it Jesus, if it's not Jesus, it's an idol. And that's what I believe we're doing. And that's what we're going to talk about in this week's podcast. And yes, it will be provocative and controversial, but I ask you to bear with me because truth is more important than being comfortable. And we're going to begin this examination of the real Jesus. The next few podcasts are going to talk about who Jesus really was by first dispelling the falsehoods. And the first falsehood I want to dispel is the most superficial, frankly. And that is, what did Jesus actually look like when he walked the earth 2,000 years ago? And what didn't he look like? And does it even really matter what he looked like? I would contend that it does matter what he looked like, but probably not for the reasons you think. Now, I know it's, again, it's very provocative, very controversial to say that Christians are worshiping an idol, but just do a little exercise with me. Bear with me and do this exercise. I want you to close your eyes right now. Close your eyes, and I just want you to picture Jesus. Just close your mind and look at Jesus in your mind's eye. What do you see? Well, if you are like the vast majority of Christians, what you just pictured is a tall, handsome, Caucasian man with long, blondish brown hair, possibly blue eyes, maybe brown, but possibly blue eyes, a goatee. He's wearing a white robe and sandals. If that's what you pictured, then congratulations. You just pictured your idol, because that man who you pictured looked absolutely nothing like Jesus of Nazareth. And we can prove that easily, logically, and biblically. First of all, I think we all logically know that Jesus was not Caucasian. He was not a white man. He was a Middle Eastern Jew. He lived in the Middle East. He looked like other Middle Eastern Jews, which means he would not have had white skin. His skin would have been, he would have had an olive complexion, medium brown skin like everyone else in the Middle East. He would not have had blonde or brownish blonde hair. That Middle Eastern Jews did not have that color hair. It would not have been that, you know, long texture of European hair. His hair would have been thick, would have been probably black and wavy or kind of kinky. It also would not have been long, because in Jewish culture, you did not wear your hair long. That was actually considered extremely offensive for a Jewish man to have long hair. Long hair was actually the purview of women, and you will find areas in the Bible where men were told not to have long hair, that long hair was again, the glory of a woman. So a Jewish man would not have had long hair. So no, there's no long hair Jesus. And his beard would not have been a goatee. A goatee was something that became fashionable again in medieval European culture. There were no people walking around the Middle East 2,000 years ago with goatees. It just didn't happen that way. Jesus would have likely had a full beard, and it would have been a pretty, probably a big, bushy, wiry, black-haired beard, again, just like most other men in that period of time. Now, we don't know how tall Jesus was, so we can't really speculate about his actual height, but it's pretty likely that he was not skinny. Why? Because Jesus, by trade, was a carpenter. Yes, he became a rabbi when he was 30, but growing up, he would have spent his time, just like most Jewish men during that time, learning the craft of his earthly father, Joseph, and Joseph was a carpenter. And keep in mind that carpentry in that time is not the same as we look at carpentry as someone who has a hammer and nails. That's not what they used then. The word carpenter is actually, it means, it's interpreted builder. He was building houses, and he would have been building houses out of stone, out of brick. So he would have been lifting heavy stones. He would have been a mason. And now I obviously don't mean mason like, you know, the Freemasons, those, you know, the clubs and that of conspiracy theories, and even there are legitimate masonry clubs and some that, you know, go into the realm of conspiracies. I'm not going to get into that. He wasn't that kind of mason. He was a stonemason, meaning he was someone who worked with heavy stones and bricks, moving them around. He would not have had a slight build. He would have had to have a pretty heavy, muscular build in order to have, you know, done that for probably 10, 15 years with his legal father, Joseph. So he would not have been skinny. And we also know from the Bible that Jesus was not handsome. I know that's shocking. We don't want to think of our Savior as anything other than the perfect, beautiful epitome of human beauty. We want him to look like Brad Pitt or George Clooney or Leonardo DiCaprio or whoever else you think is handsome in Hollywood, but he didn't. In fact, the Bible specifically says in Isaiah, and I'll put the link in the show notes, it said that Jesus had no comeliness that men would desire him. Comeliness, being comely, means physically attractive. Jesus was... God specifically made sure that Jesus was not physically attractive. Why? Because he knows how we are. We human beings, we are into appearances. We give a higher value to people who are good looking. If you see someone on the street who is good looking, then you automatically ascribe positive attributes to them. Oh, well, they're smarter, they're better than other people who are not attractive, even though I think we'd all agree that just because you're physically good looking doesn't make you a good person, doesn't make you smart, doesn't make you moral or anything like that. You just happen to have good genetics, but that doesn't make you a good person. I think we all know people who are good looking, who are, you know, not good people, who are despicable people. And on the other hand, we probably all know people who are not physically attractive, but who are very wonderful, sweet people. So how you look physically has no bearing on who you are, what you are on the inside. But again, it's just our nature to ascribe positive attributes to people who look good. And God did not want that. He only wanted us to, the people at that time in the first century, to follow Jesus because of who he was and what he said, not because of how he looked. So God intentionally made sure that the body that Jesus was in was not an attractive one. He had no comeliness. He was not attractive. So now let's look at what Jesus probably really looked like. So imagine instead of the Jesus we normally think of, the tall, handsome, goatee, long-haired, Caucasian, blue-eyed, skinny guy who we normally think of as Jesus. And instead, picture right next to him a probably muscular, kind of squat, darker-skinned guy with short, dark, bushy hair, a big, bushy beard, and not terribly good-looking. Now, what an amazing contrast that is between the real Jesus and the idol that we worship. So then, if it's so clear, logically and biblically, that Jesus looks nothing like the guy that's in our Sunday school books and in our Bible illustrations and maybe even in pictures on the walls in your church, maybe even in your home, if he looks nothing like this, where on earth did this fake Caucasian blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus even come from? Well, actually, the person who we call Jesus, who is not based on any historic rendering of Jesus. No one painted a picture of Jesus when he was on earth. He was a poor itinerant rabbi, according to the world. Obviously, his disciples and his followers knew he was the Son of God. But society just saw him as just this Jewish preacher walking around the hills of Judea. No one would have bothered making a sculpture of him or a picture of him, so we don't know what he looked like. So where did this picture come from? Well, the picture of Jesus that we have was not arbitrary. It was actually based on another human being. The person who we see as Jesus is based on a man named Cesare Borgia. And you may ask yourself right now, who on earth is Cesare Borgia? Good question. Cesare Borgia was the son of Rodrigo Borgia. Okay, then you might be asking, okay, who in the heck is Rodrigo Borgia? And honestly, unless you are a student of medieval history, you probably have no idea who he is, and rightfully so. However, I will tell you that Rodrigo Borgia is better known by the name he gave himself, which is Pope Alexander VI. Yes, Pope Alexander VI, his original name was Rodrigo Borgia. He became Pope in 1492, which is a very significant year for those of us in America. That's the year that Columbus discovered America. He didn't really discover it. There were already people here, but that was the time where Europe discovered that America existed. Anyway, Rodrigo Borgia, he was an Italian aristocrat of Spanish descent. So he was born in Spain, but he lived in Italy and made his fortune there. He became Pope. How did he become Pope? Well, the same way most other people became Pope during that time, and I would contend even to this day, not based on any piousness or holiness that they personally had, but based on money. Back then, and again, I would contend even now, even though it's probably kept more undercover, you become Pope or a Cardinal by buying your way into the office. Rodrigo Borgia was not a holy man by any stretch of the imagination. He was actually a pretty despicable human being. He was a known philanderer, an adulterer. He was very selfish. He was really only concerned in his popery. The only reason he wanted to be Pope was to secure wealth for his family and his progeny, which was a pretty good way to do it, because popes, despite the fact that they're supposed to be the representatives of Christ on earth, were actually led lascivious lives, and they became really, really rich. Being a pope pretty much guaranteed a massive fortune for you and for your posterity, and that's what Rodrigo Borgia wanted when he used his money to finagle his way into becoming Pope Alexander VI. And of course, popes get to rename themselves, so Rodrigo Borgia became Alexander VI. And that's common. I mean, the Pope today, Pope Francis, that's not his original name, but Pope Francis is the name he chose for himself. Okay, so what does this have to do with the portrayals of Jesus? Well, most of the portrayals that we have of Jesus, the pictures and sculptures we have of him, originated during the Renaissance. The Renaissance was a time when, artistically speaking, art just basically it flourished. It escalated quickly from pretty crude, almost two-dimensional drawings in the time before the late 1400s to just beautiful, fully realized, three-dimensional, just gorgeous paintings and sculptures from masters like Leonardo da Vinci and Michelangelo and Raphael and those folks just did spectacular work. How did that happen? Well, before the Renaissance, there was no such thing, or very few people who would consider themselves professional artists, because there was just no place for it in medieval Europe. People were more concerned with just getting by with their day-to-day lives. They had to farm for food. They had to, you know, raise their livestock. And maybe they were merchants, but they had long hours, and they had very little time to spend on art. So art did not advance. If you look at art before the Renaissance, again, they were very crude drawings. The proportions were off. People were not, human beings, men and women, were not drawn with great proportions. There was not a lot of care put into the artwork. It was, you know, just very, very crude looking. But you'll find that after the Renaissance, things changed. It became very much more realistic. Proportions were there, and it set the standard for art even to this day. How did that happen? Well, it happened because around the 1300s and 1400s, bankers came into play. That happened, and a specific group of bankers called the Medici family actually made art a career. The Medicis were great landowners. Actually, my wife and I learned about them quite a bit during our time in Italy over the summer. So the Medicis were huge landowners. They acquired a lot of land, a lot of livestock, and they became very, very rich. A lot of farmland, agriculture. They became so rich, they had so much excess money that they decided to start, that they would make a business of lending their money to other people at interest. And this then became their main source of income. Banking became much more lucrative than their agricultural endeavors, so the Medicis became fabulously wealthy. And as such, they wanted to have artwork in their homes. But again, the artwork was not great at the time because there were no full-time artists. People didn't have time to dedicate to art. So what they did, the Medicis found promising young artists like Michelangelo, for example. Well, my wife and I learned quite a bit about him when we were in Florence. He showed talent, and they said to him, look, Michelangelo, and to other artists, we will subsidize you. We will pay you just to make art. You don't have to worry about working in the fields anymore. You don't have to worry about doing anything else other than art. So you can concentrate just on advancing art. And that's what happened, and that's how art became more advanced. So, and of course, in return for that, the Medicis would get all their great art, like the statues of David, the famous Michelangelo statue of David, and so forth and so on. So what did these artists draw and paint and sculpture? Well, if you're an artist, you want to sculpture the highest expression of glory that you possibly can. And since this was a very Catholic period of time, this was basically when Catholicism had a theocratic hold over the world for about 1,000 years, this was kind of in the middle of that, the highest glory they could portray was biblical scenes. God, Jesus, the Virgin Mary, that's what they would draw. And so they would draw and write and paint all these biblical different biblical artistic pieces and scenes from the Bible. And this is where Rodrigo Borgia, Pope Alexander VI, comes in, because he was the Pope right in the middle of this great renaissance of art. And he decreed that since he was the Pope, and the Pope is considered God on earth, that is, you know, that's what the popery believes. The people who are Catholics believe that the Pope is the vicar of Christ, Vicarius Christus. He is God on earth. Then therefore, since Jesus is the Son of God, then and the Pope is God on earth, then the Son of the Pope is, in a fashion, the Son of God, right? So God's Son is Jesus. The Pope, who is also God, his Son, should also be in the same light as Jesus. So Pope Alexander VI decreed that whenever anyone would portray Jesus, they would portray him as Pope Alexander VI's son, the quote-unquote son of the God on earth, the Pope. The Pope's son was Cesare Borgia. And that is why every picture of Jesus from the medieval times was based on Cesare Borgia. And as you can see in the header image that I have for this post, Cesare Borgia looks very much like the Jesus that we currently see. Now, you know, if the Jesus on the right in the picture, you know, the features are softened a bit because as the art evolved, they, you know, softened him to make him look, you know, nice and sweet and gentle, because that's what we want to see Jesus as, this big giant human teddy bear who just did miracles and hugged children and walked around saying peace and love, brother. So they softened his features, but you can tell they were based on Cesare Borgia. So was Cesare Borgia portrayed as Jesus because he was so holy and pious and just similar to Jesus in the way he carried himself? Absolutely not. Cesare Borgia was in many ways worse and more despicable than his father Rodrigo, aka Pope Alexander VI. Cesare Borgia had a violent temper. He was known to beat and kill people anytime he felt like it. And being the son of the Pope, he could get away with it. It was nothing you were going to do. He was already an aristocrat before his father became Pope. But once Rodrigo became Pope Alexander VI, well, there was nothing you could do to Cesare. So he was a spoiled brat. He was an aristocrat. He had some serious sexual deviancy. He liked having sex with anyone and anything he possibly could, men and women. So he was LGBT, I guess he'd be one of the Bs. He liked men and women. But his favorite person to have sex with was his sister, Lucretia. So he was also into incest. He was a horrible, despicable human being. And he was a model of Jesus. So when you are looking at that blonde, blue-eyed, tall, skinny, handsome Jesus, you are looking at a portrayal of a despicable, murdering, violent, homosexual, incestuous man named Cesare Borgia. That's your idol. Congratulations. That's who you're worshiping. That's who you picture in your mind when you pray. You're picturing Cesare Borgia, rapist, murderer, incestuous man. Doesn't that make you feel all warm and fuzzy inside? That's who you picture. That's who's in your Bible, Cesare Borgia. But hey, yeah, Cesare, he was a handsome man. He was quite handsome. He had the goatee, because a goatee was fashionable during that time. He had the long hair. He was skinny. because, after all, he was an aristocrat. He didn't have to do a hard day of work in his life, so he had no muscle tone, didn't need to. So he was nice and skinny, like the Jesus we see portrayed. He had very light skin, because during that time, having light skin was a sign of aristocracy. It was a sign that you were successful, because if you were rich, then you didn't have to be out in working in the fields and dealing with animals and plowing fields, so you wouldn't get any suntan on you at all. You would be inside all day, where it's nice and cool and safe, and so the sun would never tan you, so you would have really, really light skin. You'd be a very, very pale person, and that was, again, considered attractive for men and women back in that time to be pale, because it meant that they were of high status, because they didn't have to be outside. In fact, you've probably seen many medieval movies and TV shows wherever, where people would actually powder themselves with talc in order to even appear whiter. It was a fashion thing, just like we have our fashions today. It was fashionable then to make yourself as white as possible. And so there we have. That's why we have the Caucasian Jesus, based on that wonderful guy, Cesare Borgia. How does that make you feel, knowing you're picturing that guy when you're doing your worship of the Almighty? And of course, there's the racial component. Let's not forget that. And you know how I feel about racism. It's the dumbest rationalization on earth. You aren't better or worse than anyone else based on the color of your skin when you came out of your mother's womb. But people who are racist or have any type of racial inclinations, they always believe that their race happens to be the superior one. And since Caucasian culture was dominant during that time, and of course since, then of course Jesus was white. I mean, after all, white people are better than everyone else. So Jesus had to be white, because Jesus was better than everyone else. And good-looking people are better than ugly people, so Jesus had to be good-looking. So of course, this had to be what Jesus looked like. And we all embrace it today, even though we know deep down that it's logically and biblically incorrect. Okay, so I know what you might be thinking. You might be listening to all this and saying, okay, big deal. So let's say this is true, that the Jesus that's portrayed in movies and in TV shows and in books and pictures and sculptures really doesn't look like what Jesus looked like 2,000 years ago. So what? That doesn't matter. What we're really, the Jesus we're really worshiping is the one from the Bible, the one who did what he did and said what he said. That's what really matters. And the portrayals of him aren't really important. Here's the thing is, the problem is they are important, because all those things shape our vision, our idea of what Jesus is. And it starts with the appearance, but it goes deeper than that. And we'll go into that depth in the next couple of podcasts. But keep in mind the reason why we want Jesus to look the way he looks. Not because it's not even a white thing or a black or Asian thing. The racial thing is a side piece of it, side component to it. But the reason that we embrace this Jesus, even though we know it's not true, is because it makes us comfortable. It makes us comfortable to see him as a good-looking, handsome, gentle person. It meets our image of him. But the question is that image, not just physically, but also mentally and emotionally, is that truly what Jesus was? Is that truly who he was? And if we base everything on appearance, we want things to look the way we want it to look, because it makes us comfortable. Remember, and think about the last podcast when we talked about what Jesus probably looked like after his resurrection, that he, in all likelihood, bore all the scars that he endured. And that made you uncomfortable, didn't it? To think about the fact that when you get to heaven, there's a good likelihood that the face you see of Jesus is going to bear the scars of his face being horribly beaten, of his beard being torn off, of his back being shredded by the whipping that he endured, and obviously the holes in his hands and feet and side. But Jesus will not be this gorgeous, pristine corpse that we worship, that, again, we talked about in the last podcast. And that makes you uncomfortable. So ask yourself, why does the idea of Jesus being less than our vision of human perfection upset us? It upsets us because we are concerned with appearance. And being concerned with appearance is the last thing that God wants. God does not care about appearance. God cares about truth and reality. And if you let even a small amount of unreality into your view of who God is, of who Jesus is, then you are on the road to deception. And that is the real reason why this is so important. And again, I'm starting with the least important part about Jesus that we get wrong, which is his appearance. We'll get into the other things we get wrong about him later. But I wanted to start here because even though it seems inconsequential, any time you intentionally allow yourself to be deceived, anytime you accept any level of deception, it opens the door to wider deception. Once Satan has his foot in the door, you're not closing it. He's going to open it wider and wider. And you start with, okay, well, maybe Jesus wasn't really, you know, this unattractive Jewish guy. He was a nice looking guy who was, he wasn't stout and he wasn't muscular. He was just this really nice skinny guy, just gentle Jesus, meek and mild. And so once we see him, his appearance as being this soft and unassailable, perpetually nice, cloying person, then we start to believe that because he looks like that, then he must be that way. Then Jesus must be someone who's just all love, and he never judges anyone, and he just wants to be this loving, gentle, non-judgmental person that we believe he is, that we worship, and that's not who he was. Because so just opening that door of the deception of what he physically looked like leads to opening the door to false beliefs about who he was, and we'll see that play out in the next few podcasts. The bottom line is this: God is not interested in our comfort. God is interested in reality. He is interested in truth. Jesus is truth. He is the light of the world. He is the Word of God made flesh. And that Word of God is not going to make you comfortable. In fact, it's going to make you uncomfortable. Jesus made the world uncomfortable. That's why they killed him. Do you think they killed Jesus because he was such a sweet, kind, loving guy who just healed people? No, he was killed because he made the religious leaders and the Romans and the Jews uncomfortable. He intentionally brought division. He intentionally brought strife and conflict. And he did that because he wanted to separate the people who wanted to grow from the people who wanted to be comfortable. You cannot have both. You cannot both be in comfort and in growth. They are antithetical. If you want to grow, you're going to be uncomfortable. If you want comfort, then you're not going to grow. Jesus, God, wants us to grow, so he wants us to be uncomfortable. He wants to bring us tension. He does not want to bring us release. And that, again, it's antithetical to what we believe about Jesus. We believe he's just the person who's going to make us comfortable. He is not. He is going to do the opposite, which is why he looked the way he looked in real life, and why he said the things he said that made us uncomfortable, and we're going to talk about those things in the next few podcasts. But it is important to know that that comfortable picture you have in your mind of Jesus is not real. So the first step in understanding who Jesus really was is to get rid of your focus on his appearance and that comfortable appearance that you love so much. It's not real. Do not let that piece of deception open the door to further deception. And hopefully this series will help you dispel the deception so you can accept the reality even though it makes you uncomfortable, because that's what God wants. Okay, so let's wrap up this podcast. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it. Please give me your comments. Love to hear them. Please follow me on Facebook and Twitter. And in the next podcast, we are going to start talking about the myths that we have about Jesus' message and his mission. Do you believe that the mission of Jesus was to heal the sick and relieve the poor of their poverty? Do you believe that Jesus came here to preach a message of peace and love? Well, if you believe those things, then you're deceived and you're further into the idolatry than you might know. And we'll talk about it more next time.